The views and opinions expressed on Focus on Business are not necessarily those of the station, WCOM FM, its board, or underwriters. Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, we are talking about veteran employment, military employment, making the transition from being active service member into being a fantastic contributing member to our business community, our nonprofits, and other organizations. So the theme of the show today is essentially the slogan for the NC for me, which is we trust them with our country. You can trust them with your business. And now let me introduce you to today's guests. My guests today are Kimberly Williams and retired Brigadier General James Gorham of NC for me. That's North Carolina for Military Employment Organization. And Kimberly has more than 20 years of experience in leading human resource professionals in the private sector, public sector, and nonprofit environment. She is currently the Chief Human Resources Officer for the City of Jacksonville, North Carolina, and an instructor in the master's program at Webster University at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune or Lejeune, whichever way we want to pronounce it. Her passion for assisting military service members began with serving as a volunteer with the Virginia Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, as regional chair and later a state director for their employment initiative program. She also initiated the Virginia Values Veterans, the V3 program, which is a statewide initiative to ensure employment of our servicemen and women. Kimberly has twice been presented the Seven Seals Award for Meritorious Leadership, an initiative in support of the Department of Defense. She is currently leading North Carolina's statewide employment initiative under the Veterans Foundation, NC for me, North Carolina for Military Employment, a comprehensive public-private partnership. And Kimberly also serves as a member of the Coastal Carolina Community College Board of Trustees, a member of the Governor's Working Group for Veterans and Their Families, and is the proud parent of two children. Her son is currently working on a degree in medicine, and her daughter is a U.S. Marine. And right now we should have the sound effects, but I did not bring it. Brigadier General James Gorham serves as Director of Special Projects for the North Carolina Department of Public Safety. In this leadership role, Gorham provides oversight to the North Carolina Center for Safer Schools, directs department initiatives involving military affairs and suicide prevention. He has previously held roles in DPS that include the Special Assistant to the Secretary of Public Safety, Frank Perry, Executive Officer for the Division of Adult Corrections and Juvenile Justice, and the Commissioner of Juvenile Justice prior to the Division's consolidation with Adult Correction in September of 2013. Brigadier General Gorham retired in September 2012 as the Brigadier General and Assistant Adjutant General for Domestic Operations for the North Carolina National Guard, capping a 38-year military career that included 3 years of active duty service in the U.S. Army. In his duties with the National Guard, he has led officers for outreach to state and local leaders. He has also spent 29 years in the banking industry, retiring from that position in 2010, where he was the manager of retail banking at First Citizens Bank. He is a native of Falkland, North Carolina, lives in Kernersville with his wife and three children, has a bachelor's degree from East Carolina University, and a master's degree in strategic studies from the U.S. Army War College. Wow. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you for allowing us to be here.
Thank you.
So let's give everyone an overview of NC for me and how you guys work.
Okay, so North Carolina for Military Employment is an initiative that simply focuses on employers. We know that there's been a lot of federal and state funding and a lot of resources put toward the veteran, making sure they understand how to interview, write resumes, and that sort of thing. But it doesn't matter how ready we get that veteran if our employers don't understand the value they can bring to their organization. So this program was started not on the premise that hire a veteran or a service member because it's the right thing to do. That is a given, but this is about hiring someone that is a proven high performer and honestly has proven themselves in one of the biggest companies in America, in the military.
Right. So what are the components of doing this? How do you, you're working with the veterans, you're working with the active military, you're working with the public sector. Kind of give me the arenas that you work in.
Right. So what we want to do is we just want to educate strategic leaders across the state of North Carolina and human resource professionals and business owners across the state on the value of hiring a service member. If you were looking for a pool of highly talented individuals, then we can tell you we've got them here. So one of the things we recognize early on is, the number one driver for economic development in any state is talent. So right. When an organization wants to come, when a company wants to come to North Carolina, they want to know how many, electrical engineers do you have? So we know that the biggest concentration of the knowledge, skills, and abilities that drive high-demand jobs in North Carolina can be found in the military.
And we've already invested in them as taxpayers. Our dollars are there. Let's
Correct.
Keep them working and
Exactly.
productive in our communities.
And one of the numbers that I found staggering was over 78,000 service members are going to transition over the next 4 years. And I'm thinking that's a lot of talent we don't want to lose. So we need to keep that talent in North Carolina. This initiative, NC for Me, North Carolina for Military Employment, simply gets the business leaders, the strategic leaders, the HR professionals, and the service members together. We educate those business leaders on the value. We let them know things like, did you know that if you hire someone with military experience, the chances are that they will stay on the job twice as long as someone without military experience. And retention is a huge issue.
Turnover kills businesses.
Exactly. So that's what this is about, educating the employers, educating the HR professionals, and then making the connection. The great news for employers is the money they spend in recruiting and finding talent doesn't exist. There's no charge for this. We will connect them with the talent.
And so we're talking about taking active military that they know are going to transition out because of the downsizing of the military. They're retiring. They've just decided military is no longer where they want to be. And so you're starting to work with them while they're still in the military to make those transitions.
Yes. One of the things that the Department of Public Safety recognized right up front was that veterans coming off active duty are the ideal type of people that we want to bring into our organization. They have the skill set that we are looking for. They are already trained in discipline, in weaponry, in physical fitness, and they have great leadership skills. They have some of the best training of any of the people across our country. And so that's ideal for us. They have the ability to pay attention to detail. They are dependable. And they're dedicated employees. So when we look at the veterans, this would be an ideal pool source for us. And so we became very active right out of the chute to try to support Governor McCrory military initiative to try to keep as many veterans in North Carolina to make North Carolina their home. And so forth, we've been very, very successful in doing that. Last year, the Department of Public Safety, we hired about 370 veterans into our organization at the Department of Public Safety. Our main focus last year was on highway patrolmen, correction officers, and probation officers.
Well, when we think about it, as business owners, we need great managers, we need great leaders, we'll frequently Right. need technical skills. And our military have the finest training for technical skills, whether that's aircraft control, that's maintenance, that's mechanics. My brother came out of the Marine Corps as a master electrician. These are skills across the board. I have a friend that was a paralegal
Right.
for the military. She came out and did that when she came out of the service. And we don't always think of that as business owners, of how much technical expertise. There's lawyers, there's doctors, there's nurses, there's teachers, there's trainers. All of that's there for us to tap into.
But the reality is, and I have to tell you my reality, I mean, my background is simply in human resources. And we often do not see that. So when someone comes to us with military experience, we don't understand what they can do in our business. Just an example, 1% of this nation is in the military. The other 99% are people like me that really don't have a clear idea. So in my head, I see them shooting guns, driving tanks, wearing uniforms, not what you just said,
Right.
which is lawyers, accountants, statistics, logistics, food service.
I mean, it's everything. It's,
Correct.
It's own little country in a lot of ways with all these little businesses going on inside there.
The majority of the occupations that you find in our civilian population, you're going to find those same types of occupations in the military. And we give our military service members great training. If you're in the military for 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, there's a great possibility that you have gone to various training opportunities throughout your career. You're not being brought into the military and being trained just one time. There's reinforcement on training time and time again. So when they come out into the civilian sector, they are ready to go. They have the skill set that is needed. But the problem is we haven't done a good job of communicating that message of what a great asset that a veteran would be to your organization.
Well, it's translating that, my brother always called it his MOS, to our job descriptions and our roles within our organization. Mm. It's knowing that, you know, you can get a gunsmith there, you can get someone that can shoot a weapon, you can build the tank, they can repair the tank, but there's also someone there sitting there and planning, well, we're going to deploy this tank, so we need a plan to deploy. We're managing the logistics of that. We've got to supply them. We've got to have the trucks. We've got to have the vehicles. We've got to have the fuel for that. We've got to have the clothing. It's all of those things going in. And there is someone there in the military doing that every day.
Well, and I think what's interesting, you're absolutely correct. And what's interesting to me as an HR professional, because we really truly have to make sure HR professionals understand the value. And this initiative, NC for me, does four things. But one, we educate strategic leaders on the value. So that strategic leader could be a CEO, a CFO, a CIO. It could be a business owner. A small business, because they are the people that set the strategic vision. So if they understand the value, they say, hey, you know, 30-40% of our vacant positions, we need to focus on someone that has military experience. Then we need to educate HR professionals, because HR professionals are the gatekeepers. And we have 18 chapters of the Society for Human Resource Management across the state of North Carolina. And every one of those 18 chapters are working with us to educate the HR professionals. So in our head, and those are two pieces of this model, NC for me, if we get the strategic leaders on board and the HR professionals on board, we're pretty good to go. But at the end of the day, if we're going to make our goal is to make North Carolina the number one state for military employment. In order to do that, we've got to make sure we're getting these young professionals into these roles. We need business leaders and HR professionals to understand the value they bring to the organization.
Well, you know, and you look at, we know we're downsizing the military right now, but 90,000 roughly will be moving out of different organizations. I know Fort Bragg's going to have some of the downsizing now. Colorado Springs, different parts. When the military downsizes, that has a significant economic impact on those communities. But if we can keep them there as business owners, as employees, as we're translating that in there, and that's what we do with the From Battlefield to Business program, is say, you're in the military. Let's think about, do you want to own your own business? And then you can become that small business owner or that huge business owner employing your other military service members as they come out and taking those skill sets.
I think one of the things that, and you're absolutely correct, and I'm enjoying this conversation, because changing, you know, a mindset is difficult. Changing a culture is difficult. We had to change mine as an HR professional. My view of people leaving the military was, what are they going to do for me? What are they going to do for my organization? But at the end of the day, if you work for a large organization, I'm sure many of your listeners work for organizations that give performance evaluations. You get a performance evaluation usually annually. If you're a good, high-performing organization, maybe you give it an evaluation every 6 months, where you sit down, you have a discussion with the employee on what their goals are, what they're doing well, what they need to do differently. And then if you're really good, you offer training to strengthen those opportunities where they need to develop. In the military, typically, a service member gets evaluated every month, every 30 days. And then they're given the training to support what it is they need to do differently or do better, what their development opportunity is. What's interesting to me is if you track that training, the majority of that training is effective communication, valuing diversity, ethics and integrity, project management, teamwork, leadership. It's not really shooting guns. So that understanding of high performance is important for the companies across the state of North Carolina to understand, so they can tap into that pool.
Well, and it's when you think about the different times in the lives and development of our companies. I worked in Ford Motor Company for a number of years in their executive development program, and they had a sort of a similar way of developing us. We came in, we rotated through jobs, we had different challenges. and because we were being trained to be the leaders of the organization. But that was set up right after World War II by the whiz kids, as they called them. They came out of the military. They came in and said, this is what we know. This is what we can apply to corporate America. And that guided the organization for over 50 years of setting up those structures and those processes. And that made Ford a very different organization because there was financial discipline, there were budgets, there were strategic plans, there were reviews, there was expectations. I'm not going to say every manager ever had communicated well. They could have had some of that ongoing every 30-day training. But that mindset of improving performance was there because of those structures that were put in place. And not waiting for someone to discover how they were going to fix their own problem, or wait a year, as you were pointing out, to discover there was a problem, I wasn't communicating well or whatever. That feedback loop is so critical to the organizations. And the business community, small business or large, needs that built into their systems now, because that's what makes them be able to respond, because we have a plan. And as I say, you go to battle, and that's when the plan gets changed. And every day is a battle.
That's absolutely right. And one of the things I would like to add to this, as far as when you receive a veteran into your employment, you are getting a person who has been indoctrinated in the value of teamwork.
Right.
I mean, the two guiding principles for the military is the accomplishment of the mission and also the welfare of the soldiers. And they have been immersed in that environment, and that's their mindset. And so when they come in, they are very adaptable. They work in diverse groups. All of those things add value and helps the business to improve that bottom line. When you bring people in to have that type of skill set, it would definitely help your organization grow.
There's no I in team, right?
There's no I in team, absolutely.
General Gorm, I love what you said about diversity, because as an HR professional, I don't know one company across really this country that doesn't want to focus on making sure that they have diversity within their organizations, they match their customer base. There is not a bigger, in my opinion, talent pool that is as diverse as our service members. I mean, think about that. As they're exiting, it's such a great group to reach into if you're looking at increasing your diversity.
Well, and you think about it, it's an all-volunteer organization. They've signed up to serve the country, to do the sacrifices. Their family has sacrificed along with them, with their deployments and all those kind of things. So it's also a different mindset for the family of who they're going to employ in the organizations, because you're getting the entire military families that comes along, and they have a different mindset about the mission and sacrifice and service and stuff too. So you get this great package of well-equipped people to join your organization and that support system that goes around it too.
Not to mention the fact, just because of that, as one example, the retention rates we talked about earlier. I mean, lower recruitment costs, because we will help you find those service members at no cost, higher retention rates, and a high-performing individual. That just makes good business sense.
Well, I mean, you look at the cost from a small business, and I'll talk about it two ways, because I've done small business and done corporate recruiting too. Small businesses, they're running the ads. They have to find somebody to help them screen it, look through the resumes. You run an ad for, say, you have 10 positions. You get 1,000 resumes coming in, and only 40% of them actually meet the minimum statistics that were in the ad that you ran. Or you go through the job boards and you go through that. So there's, even if you're not spending a lot of money on running the ad, you're spending a lot of money on screening, checking the skill set, and you don't always know when someone comes in. Did they, you know, I remember in college, somebody came in, we were just starting to use computers. I will date myself. But we asked for computer experience. And even as a 20-something, interviewing for the college to hire computer people, and the lady said, yes, I have computer experience. And so we set her down. I set her down to do the tests, and she didn't even know how to turn the computer on. I was like, you said you had computer experience. And she says, I play Nintendo. And I really, that really is. But it's you know, there's, yes, I've used Excel, and yes, I've used Word. And then there's the skill set of actually being at that level that you need when you're hiring in your business. And we know that when they come out of the military.
That's
because
exactly
they had
right.
to do it.
Well, and you just said something really important, and I can tell you this from working in corporate America and human resources. We spend a lot of money recruiting and placing people, a lot of money. Usually it averages out to about a third of their salary.
Right.
So, of their base salary. So think about that. What we're saying through our organization, through North Carolina for Military Employment, and you have to understand, this is the governor's employment initiative
for
this state.
It's nc4me.org.
Correct. This is a partnership with the USO of North Carolina. It's a partnership with NC Works, which is our workforce centers under the Department of Commerce. It's a partnership with the North Carolina Guard and a partnership with Employer Support for Guard and Reserve. So we took existing resources and pushed this initiative. And here's the bottom line. We are having hiring events across the state, and you as an employer can come to our hiring events at no cost to you. This isn't a job fair. We will look at what positions you have available through NC Works. We will match those positions to exiting military.
Qualified exiting.
Exactly. And we will set up interviews. And here's a statistic that'll blow your mind. So we have piloted these hiring events, and we have over a 60% success rate. So we know that one out of every two people you see, you're going to want to hire. And what's interesting to me is that coming from HR, I will do exactly what you just said. I will look at 100, 200 applications, narrow it down to maybe 20, screen those 20, narrow it down to 5, put a panel around a room. That's a lot of time, energy, and expense. And you're telling me we have something that will allow me to look at least...
We're skipping going from that 400 to that 40 to that 10 to that 5. We're going to that 5.
Definitely. And at no cost to your organization except to get to a location. And actually, General Gorham really didn't take enough credit for what we've done with the Department of Public Safety. We literally took a process that took about 6 months to get people employed and narrowed it down to under 30 days. And 370 people have been hired at one of our hiring events into the Department of Public Safety. So it was a pilot, and they've done an exceptional job.
Yeah, and could I put a plug in while we're talking about this issue right now? That'll be great. Our department will be conducting a hiring event on March the 2nd, which is tomorrow.
Okay.
From 10 until 2 at the Fort Bragg Conference Center. All our career counselors are going to be there to help veterans.
So Fayetteville?
In Fayetteville, at Fort Bragg in Fayetteville. And for the veterans out there that might be listening, if you have any question about applying for correction positions, because we're really kind of focused on that right now, because last year when we kind of really got involved, I mean really got involved in this initiative, we had about 1,100, about 1,000, probably 1,000 to 1,100 vacancy.
Wow.
In our facilities across the state. By December, we had that down to about 400, and the veterans was the one that was leading the way. And so we have the hiring event tomorrow, and also if
10 to 2, Fort Bragg Conference Center?
Yes, ma'am.
In Fayetteville?
In Fayetteville, absolutely. And if there's veterans out there that might have questions and whatnot, they can call 919-716-3800. And let the reception know that they are a veteran, and we would direct them to the people that can help them.
And there's information on nc4me.org, too?
Yes.
And so they can check that out if they're...
Absolutely.
So that's great to know. And these hiring events, I don't think we can overstate how important it is to retain our military in the communities where they've been serving. Whether that's them starting a business, which is my passion, is helping them become entrepreneurs and business owners, and then hiring... They have this great resource then to go in and hire other veterans to be their computer and their IT, their lawyer, all of those different kind of things. And it's great to know that. But if we think of it from a business cost standpoint, which we're always talking about how expensive it is to identify, attract, retain, train, you're reducing so much of the cost out of it. Like you were saying, often the recruiting fee for a key position in your organization is at least a third of the base salary, if not more.
That's correct.
And then you're still going through the screening process of really not knowing the resumes and what the real training has come through. If we're a small business, it's all that time and effort. You may not have the time or the make the investment then to do background checks and all of those kind of things. And then you might hire someone that doesn't fit strictly because they didn't have the leadership. They don't have good communication skills, all of those kind of things. And so if we can streamline this process and get our military connected before they leave. And I know you were talking about placing the corrections officers, but you went even beyond speeding up the process of recruiting them. You've got them trained before day one, which was different. So tell us about that, General.
Yeah, this was process that we enter into a memorandum of agreement with both Fort Bragg and Camp Lejeune. And in that agreement, what they are allowing us to do is come in and identifying soldiers and Marines who are getting ready to come off active duty. And they will allow us to go in on base while they're still on active duty and train them, especially for the correction officers, because the correction officers, they have to go through 4 weeks of basic training. Normally, or traditionally, what we normally do, we bring in a correction officer on the job training for a couple of weeks or a month or so before he gets the opportunity to go to basic training.
Right.
So therefore, we got to pull him out of the workforce.
So then you have that workforce gap then too while they're gone.
Absolutely. With this process, we're able to identify those Marines and soldiers, give them a conditional offer, right?
Right.
Go in and train them while they're still on active duty.
Right.
So that if, for example, they came off active duty on Friday.
Right. They can go to work on Monday.
They can go to work on Monday. And not only that, we can already go in and identify the facility in which they can work. Let's just say, for example, for the Marines, you know, there at Camp Lejeune, if there was a facility there in Pender County or something like
right.
that, then it could say that's where they want to go to work. There's an opening there. We put it right in. So he knows when he transitioned from the military to the civilian world, he knows where he's going to go.
Well, and that enables them to do things like take advantage of the VA loan program for VA home loans. His family knows where they're going to be. The spouse, let's say whether it's a husband or a wife in the military, but the spouse can then say, well, now I can look for a job in this area too, or we can figure out what school the kids are going in. That de-stresses the situation greatly.
And in addition to that, we have collaborated with the Department of Commerce. We have an apprenticeship program that allow these veterans who can have their VA benefits.
Right.
They can use those VA benefits to go through the same training that's going to be required of them to be correction officers. But by doing that, they are available to get about $18,000 of tax-free money during those first 2 years.
Right.
Of being a correction officer, and the only requirement is to do the training that's already required for them to do, so it's a win-win situation.
Well, and they get some college credit towards it, so if I understand. We were talking about it last week at the governor's working group for veterans issues.
So you have a soldier or a Marine coming off active duty, depending on what type of facility he goes in. You know, he'll be drawing a salary of about $31,000, $32,000 a year. But then when you kick in that $18,000 of tax-free benefits that comes along with that, you know, that's a pretty nice salary, you know, for a lot of our young soldiers. And the majority of the soldiers that's coming off active duty are under the age of 30.
Right.
And they're the ideal people that we're really looking for.
Well, and they get so many great challenges from that because we're saving money then on the training. In this case, that's our tax dollars, North Carolina tax dollars. I think they quoted a figure of like $25,000 in cost savings by training them while they're still active duty and getting them in there. And then, again, you don't have that gap of where you hired somebody,
that's
then
right.
they have to leave. And the de-stressing of having filled positions in the corrections.
This is, it's so obvious that this is a simple program. What we really need, because as an employer now, General Gorham understands it. What we really need is employers to understand it. We are having our next military employment summit. Now, that just is about educating strategic leaders across the state.
So
on
business
the value.
Owners, executives.
Yes.
Right.
And the next one will be May 18th. In Raleigh,
okay,
at the Joint Force Headquarters, which is
1636 Gold Star Drive.
We go there
down
to two
minutes.
I've typed that into the GPS many a time. All right.
And I would encourage as many, it's free, as many
just, you
employers.
You just have to register so they can screen you through the gate.
Right. Well, you'll register on NC for me, and we'll have a process so that you can get through the gate. And we want to educate you on some of the data that will impact how you think about military individuals moving forward. And we're very certain that we will convince you that hiring transitioning service members is the right thing to do to drive your bottom line results for your company.
Well, I think frequently we have the mindset that people, and my uncles will say this, and different family members that were in the military, when they went in the military, you came out of high school, you weren't necessarily going there it was the only job you could get, right? You weren't suited for something else. You didn't have training. You just came out of high school. You couldn't afford college, and you went in. And as my uncles would have said, he wasn't the best and the brightest back then. He said, I don't think I could get in the military today, right?
That's correct.
Because it is our best and brightest. They have to be technically savvy, computer literate, communicators, leaders, able to plan and act and think in a rapidly changing environment in deployment or on the base.
Well, one of the most interesting statistics I heard is that I have data to prove is over 75% of those young adults that try to get into the military can't, because they can't pass the drug screening, the physical agility test, or they don't pass the ASVAB test.
Or the criminal background checks.
Which is interesting to me, because think about that for a minute. Where are they working?
Well, exactly. That's the 35% of unemployment not currently reported, right?
Yeah, we're definitely getting the best of the best when you hire a veteran. So I would say that the employers out there, they really need to take that in consideration.
Well, and we have to think about it, because the military and getting in, and we go over that, it's a physical thing. Like, I would never have qualified because I have a spinal issue. So and then it's your ability to learn, your education background, what are you good at? You know, all of those different screening tools that we would typically do in our best businesses, too, that we want to know, it's already been done for us.
You're absolutely correct. You know, it's interesting because I don't have a military background, and I started doing this at work because I want to make a difference.
Right.
And I thought we need a focus on the HR professional and the employer, not the veteran or the military. We need to focus on getting that door open for them, and that's why we started this initiative. But I have to tell you this. My daughter became a Marine recently, and she's a very smart, very driven young lady, and I trust her immensely, and I respect her, but guess what? After being in the Marines for about 6 months now, that kid...
Mom, you're right.
Did she say that? Kid came back to me a different adult, and I will tell you what they instill in those young people about respect and loyalty and work ethic. Wow. It is. I mean, I couldn't do that as a parent teacher that. So thank you, U.S. Marines.
Well, and it's a family, too. And the military is a family. I know my brother being in the Marines, he's always going to be a Marine. He came out in the 80s, and his friends, the five of them went in at the same time. My uncle served in the Army during the late 50s, early 60s, and came out with both of his knees blown out from, I guess, jumping out of an airplane. A perfectly good airplane is what I always say. And so we have to be aware that we have military members that are great. There may be some disabled ones, but that doesn't mean there isn't a place for them in the workforce.
Do you know what I find interesting that I hear a lot as I do this work is, in the military, they just bark orders and take orders. And the reality is...
It's also called salute and swallow.
The reality is, in corporate America, feedback and teamwork is important. So you project management, you identify what your project is, you do a lot of process improvement. And what's really important to me is recognizing the military individuals I work with and that I have hired do just that. They are about project management. They're about getting and receiving feedback. It's not about barking orders.
It's defined in a mission. There's autonomy within a mission parameter within your role, because there's no way our military could do what it does if they weren't a thinking, acting military, reacting. You don't have time if you're on the front lines in a foxhole getting shot at to wait for orders, but you know your mission, you know the parameters of how you act. So if you're going to engage in any way, shape, or form, you know those parameters, and they act within those parameters.
Because most of the time, you know, those soldiers out there, they're just given the commander's intent. This is what my intentions are.
Right.
This is what I want to try to get accomplished, you know. And that's not somebody who's necessarily micromanaging them. So what a great place to develop initiative. And in every organization, you're looking for those people who have initiative, who sees the situation, right, and evaluate it, assess the situation, and then take charge and get it done. The military, our service members, we have a history of getting it done. And so if you want someone to come into your organization that's organized, that's disciplined, that has good decision-making processes.
That's loyal.
That's loyal, okay? That's going to give us everything. You really need to give our veteran a really hard look, because here's the bottom line, right? If it was not for our veterans, our businesses could not be able to do the things that they do.
We wouldn't be free.
we would not be, you're right.
And there would be no free enterprise.
The land of the free and the home of the brave. That's there because of our military. And so since our military, you know, goes out to ensure that, we should be given some serious consideration when it comes back to employment here in our country.
Well, and it just makes sense. So we say bottom line in business, which is, I love that, is the bottom line is this saves money for the business up front in the recruiting because there's no cost to do this. It saves money on training. In a lot of instances, they can be they're already trained. There may be some transitioning. Some things may be able to be programmed in that they get to do before the day one, like for your corrections officers. The retention rate is great because the more turnover you have in the organization, the more time that somebody is not doing that role that they're supposed to be doing, which is inefficient in the organization. You lose that capacity to serve your customers and all those kind of things. And the other thing I see with the military members that are in business is the no man left behind kind of applied in business. Because when someone's struggling in the organization, they don't let that person continue to struggle. They're walking over and saying, this is part of my team. What do we need to do to solve this part of the problem? So it's an application of that loyalty and that team thought out there that I'm not going to sit there and watch a team member struggle sitting in their cubicle, their office, or out trying to make a sale. They step up and help troubleshoot that issue, coach them, lead them, counsel them, teach them, whatever it is that's stepping into that breach and saying, this is my team member, and I'm not going to leave them behind and have them struggle.
Yeah, I think that's that loyalty piece. In the society in which we live in today, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're running after the dollar bill.
Right.
But for a lot of our veterans, you know, that sense of loyalty, of being a part of the team, I've heard time and time again veterans that have come out of the military and have gone into the workforce in the civilian sector, you know. And the thing that keep them there is that sense of teamwork,
right.
That sense of being a part of the team. They value that, you know, it gives them a sense of belonging. And then when they can see the products, you know, that they're making or the projects that they're completing, it's a sense of fulfillment, you know, and that loyalty piece, we shouldn't, you know, overlook that loyalty piece, because when you have soldiers and Marines, Air Force guys and whatnot coming in and working in our organization, and they stay there and they produce quality work, why wouldn't you give those folks the chance and the opportunity?
And the other thing is the problem solving, because when they see a problem, they attack it. It's
right.
Not waiting for someone else to do it. And from the business owner's standpoint, that can be an intimidating factor for people who are less secure in their background and their skills. Like I tell my clients when we're recruiting for their positions, you always want to hire people that don't have the skills that you are, that are better at something than you are, because that means you're smart because you're not able to do everything. It's making that team. And you may be a great strategic person, but not so good at execution. And a military person, I've never met one that's not great at executing the job and the mission and going out there and doing it.
I can say from my own personal experience of being in the military for about 38 years, that one of the things that a form of education that I received in the military that I did not receive in our public institution,
right,
is diversity and culture. I've learned that if you don't understand or accept a person's culture, then you don't accept them.
Right.
You know, and being in the military affords you an opportunity to encounter people of all backgrounds, all races, and you learn to function and you get to know people and learn how to communicate with them and understand where they're coming from, because that's the only way you're going to be an effective team. You got to be able to understand the weaknesses and the strengths that each of the team members bring to the table. And veterans have a good handle on being able to assess that very, very quickly. They make good decisions, as you said, and we're always talking about developing initiative, seeing what needs to be done, take the initiative, and get it done. That's what veterans do.
Well, and it, again, I think even if someone just went out on the internet right now and typed in MOS and looked at the list
thousands
of possibilities,
yeah,
of what's out there, And then I think you get a better understanding to that literally everything that goes on in the private sector, in small businesses and big corporations, is going on inside the military.
And we would encourage you to go to ncforme.org. Look at what we've got going on. Register as an employer with NC Worked, which is our state jobs site. And we will make sure, and we're in, I think in the next week, putting up the hiring events site. We're
okay.
doing some advancements in technology so that you can register for the hiring events online with NC Works as well. And we will connect you with people that are qualified for the positions that you want to fill. We will reach out to you. We will talk to you about those positions, and we will match transitioning service members to that. We've got over 100 case managers across the state between the Guard, ESGR, and NC Works, and we're ready to help you.
Well, and I'll talk about it right now from the business standpoint of don't go in not knowing what you need. Don't expect them to figure it out for you. Know the job, know the roles and responsibilities, know what they're going to be doing task-wise. Have a job description so that when you're talking about getting these positions filled, they can make a good match for you, because you can't come in and say, well, I need somebody in my business. Well, what do you want them to do, right? You're not their HR department from that standpoint. You're their recruiting resource to help them match up so that when they get in those jobs, interviews with the veterans in the military, that it is an efficient process. So make sure you really know what you need in your organization, whether that's a manager, a supervisor, a salesperson, a paralegal, a doctor, a dentist, a nurse, a teacher, any of those types of things, food services, security, corrections officers, highway patrolmen, any of those things. Be sure you can define what it is so that they can help you when you walk in, because too many small businesses, and I'll say major corporations too, frequently do not have a clear idea of what it really means for that particular role in their organization and define that well.
And while we're talking about this, can I put in a little plug for the North Carolina National Guard?
Oh, yes,
we've been
definitely.
Talking about Fort Bragg, and we've been talking about Camp Lejeune, but the North Carolina Guard, we're in almost every county. We have 100 counties here in North Carolina, and in all, I think about 97 of the counties, you're going to find a National Guard armory there. And we have National Guard soldiers throughout the whole state. And we have an employment and education center at Joint Forces Headquarters that are working diligently with our soldiers who find themselves unemployed. So that's another pool that we can work. We're all working through this together, but I have a little special feeling in my heart for those guys because they're part of North Carolina already,
right.
Okay? And they've
they're
done
already in our communities.
They're already in our community.
They're our neighbors.
They're our neighbors. They're our coaches. They're our police guys.
They're our bankers.
And our bankers. Absolutely. We do it all.
I think that, you know, it's interesting because I was talking to General Lusk, who runs the North Carolina Guard, and it is concerning to me that we have men and women that serve in our Guard that support the defense of this country
right.
and disasters in this country that are unemployed, but even more so significantly underemployed. So they're in positions that they're overqualified for because many times employers aren't willing to support that they need to serve in the Guard and do their weekend or their deployment. So we encourage people to please, if you're looking for someone and you support that initiative, to get with our education center. You can do that through us, yet again, ncforme.org. And we have partnered with the Guard, with General Lusk, and he's on our steering committee, along with Major Hoon, who's on our leadership team. And they lead that education center. Employment center.
I'll lead by example, and I'll say I will be happy anytime to come to the Guard and do a training session on how to start a business.
Perfect.
And get some entrepreneurs there, and we'll get some of those businesses going, and they can turn around and hire some of the Guard members too.
I love it.
So we'll just get something on the calendar really soon to be able to do that, because there's so much we need to be doing. And the unofficial, I think, unemployment rate for our former military, our veterans, is around 30%, which is probably what it is for a large part of our population anyway that have dropped out of the economy and are underemployed or not employed and have been discouraged from looking. But the answer is there in private public sector. We need these positions filled. So many businesses do not have the right people and have so many empty positions there. And so we can supercharge our business community by creating new businesses, veteran-owned businesses, service-disabled veterans get preferences, government contracts. Some of the major corporations have initiatives, SAS, Annette Stone, and them work with contracting with the veteran-owned businesses. And so we need to be pushing as a business community to be able to support our military as they're transitioning back to civilian life.
You are absolutely correct.
Or if they're living their day, you know, serving in the Guard, they need to be actively employed too elsewhere.
You had mentioned the unofficial unemployment rate. I will tell you that this initiative, the work that we've been doing over the last year, has made significant movement. And so our unemployment rate for our service members is actually, at this point, what's recorded is lower than the general public for the first time in years. But it's because of the work that the governor's office is pushing. It's because of the mission to make this the number one state for military employment. We don't want to stop. We want to continue.
Well, we were talking about it last week at the governor's working group meets on the fourth Thursday of every month, I think it is,
yes.
at the
Joint
National Guard,
Joint Force Headquarters,
1636 Gold Star Drive in Raleigh. And you can go on to their website. You just Google North Carolina Governor's Working Group for Veterans or Veterans Working Group, and you can get information on how to get active in that, too. The more the merrier supporting this initiative. But we were talking about the success stories of what the state is doing and how it's becoming an example to the other 49 states.
Yes.
Of how to do this.
Yeah, we get calls regularly, actually. The National Society of Human Resource Management called and said, hey, can we use your model of putting a military liaison coordinator to every one of the 18? We have 18 chapters in North Carolina. Other states have different numbers. We get calls from different governor's offices in different states that want to know what is it that you're doing differently. And the reality is it's simple. You know, we're educating employers, and we're changing mindsets, and then we're making the connection. It's really quite simple.
But, I mean, it goes back to that, they say the old KISS principle, keep it simple. It's an elegant solution because the simplest solutions, the most obvious solutions, are the ones that usually work the best. And matching that up and doing the business part. We just got to get everyone aware and out there and make this the first choice that they have when they think of, well, I have a position opening up, or we're expanding and we need more people.
And I think that's absolutely key in what you just said, making our employers out there aware of the capabilities that our veterans bring to their companies. Oftentimes, you know, we have this, I guess, this vision of military folks of going out there fighting wars.
Right. The old school grunt on the front lines.
Absolutely.
High school diploma.
Well, that's why I actually got involved in this initiative, because as a human resources professional over the last 20 or 30 years, I have had presentation after presentation to me and groups of HR professionals about hiring veterans. And it was always a lot of video with American flags waving and, you know, hire a vet because it's the right thing to do. And, I mean,
it's the right thing to do, but from a skill set standpoint, not
well,
just.
Well, and I'm not trying to be cold,
bottom
but
line
I have
driver.
Right. Yeah. I have never hired anyone because it's the right thing to do. We hire people to drive bottom line results in business. So when General Gorham and I decided to take on this initiative and to create this model, it was simply, we're not talking about hiring someone because it's the right thing to do. We're talking about hiring someone that has proven success in driving bottom-line results and can be high-performing in your company, and we can give you data to show you why.
Lower cost, productive more quickly, has a skill set, can act, is proactive, a thinker, a leader, a communicator, and hits the ground running, usually on day one in the organization. If, I will always make this proviso, if the organization they join is equipped.
Right, yep. And I can't think of an employee out there that would not love to have, you know, as many of those types of people in their organization as they could get. And they just need to be aware that we bring a lot to the table and that we need to maybe sometimes think out of the box a little bit and not what they've done in the past, but kind of look at this as another source and really put some time and effort into understanding what veterans bring to the table.
One. Let's just say any business out there right now knows one job opening they have in their organization. Take the opportunity to test it with that one job opening. Or pick the position that's been open the longest as the hardest to recruit and challenge these guys with their model and say, I need this person with this skill set, can't find them, have a terrible time recruiting them, don't know where to look, and challenge them with that most difficult position and see how it works.
That's interesting you say that, Lee, because if every organization hired one vet, we would have no unemployed veterans.
Right. So,
let's challenge them.
I issued the challenge. If you're listening and you're out there, if you're at the Chamber of Commerce, if you're in CarGrow, if you're in any of the business associations, go out and challenge everyone. If someone says, I'm looking for, what you're looking for is to go to NC4Me, look how to do this, learn about it, get educated, and then challenge them. Take that position you need to fill and let them fill one position for you.
That's the next step for the Department of Public Safety. Like we just said earlier, we brought in 370 hires last year.
Right.
Now we want to go to the next level and track those 370 in employers that came in to see how they perform, how long we retain them. So we have some very great data that we can share with other employers out there, you know, to show that, hey, not only did we do it, we tracked it, and now we have results. We have data that is
right.
that you cannot argue.
We have the success story.
We have the success story, right. And so that's what our focus is, not only right now bringing them in, but we want to retain them.
You want to make it work.
You want to make it work.
You want to get that advantage of everything
Absolutely.
That comes out of that. But if you just think about the bottom line results businesses have to have, we have to be more competitive. We have to move faster. We have to spend less in recruiting and things and training. Why wouldn't you try this?
Well, you know, you say that, but when I directed the human resources function for the United States for Burger King Corporation, about 30,000 employees, I never hired a vet. I may have, but I certainly
but it
didn't
wasn't
focus.
Right.
It wasn't intentional. And there's so many people out there that are just like me. The reason I do this work is because of that, what I just shared. But I understand that other people have the same impression I did of what service members are. But they are attorneys and accountants, and they do logistics. They are project managers, and they're high performers. And it's about educating the employers. That's why this initiative is so important, is we are going across the state educating strategic leaders and HR professionals because we want to make a difference in their business because these are proven success in driving bottom line results, and we want to make a difference in the state.
Well, and I think back with the airline as one good example. When all of our pilots used to be for private airlines come out of the military, and I'll admit, when I started flying, one of the things I always like to do is try to figure out how they landed, which branch of the military they were in, right? and in those days, the pilot would open the door and he'd be standing there and say, Army? Navy, because that was put it down on that carrier in reverse, right? But we think of some things automatically. We know there are pilots. We know there are medics. There are EMTs. There are also plumbers, electricians, mechanics. I mean,
the list goes on and on.
I mean, there are our communications. I have
human
one client.
Human resource professionals, administrative folks.
Communications experts,
exactly.
PR people. You know, they produce video, edit video, they do website. I mean, there is nothing that the military isn't currently doing that we don't need in the private sector. So I'm challenging everybody. Find those positions, those that you've been hard to recruit. I know I have clients in private security. I have clients in banking and all these different things. But they have positions that they're always complaining, I can't find the right candidate. Let's try this. So go to nc4me.org.
Correct.
You have a hiring event coming up in May. Is that what it was?
No, we have a training event. The summit is May 18th, and we do need to get people there.
Okay.
We need so that we can share information with you. And one of the most important things about these summits is after we educate people on the value, we then have them sign a pledge, and then we follow up with them and their HR professionals to help them get the right candidates.
And it's... Start thinking about it now. That's May 18th. That's at Fort Bragg.
No, that one's at the headquarters. It's in Raleigh.
Okay. Tomorrow is Fort Bragg.
The Department of Public Safety, yes, we have a hiring event tomorrow at Fort Bragg from 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's at the Fort Bragg Conference Center there in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And we will have all our career readiness counselors will be there to help folks that might come in.
And so that's for the veterans.
That's right. For the veterans.
And then May is for the employers. Small businesses, the strategic decision makers for the employers.
Not just small businesses, yes, but large businesses.
Corporations.
And I do need to give a shout out to MetLife and to Cisco, because they are our founding sponsors. They help support this initiative so that we don't have to charge taxpayer dollars.
Mm. That's fabulous that they're underwriting that. So we'll say a thank you to MetLife and to Cisco. We have just like 1 minute left. What haven't we told everyone that we need to tell them?
I think we've covered it.
to the employers out there that might be listening, right?
Right.
Make a commitment, right, to hire one vet. Just make a commitment. I'm going to hire one vet for all of the reasons that we have given them. I think we've given them excessive reasons why it's a good idea to hire a vet. But things don't happen just because of the idea. It happens when concerned corporate folks make a decision to make things happen, okay? Leaders make it happen. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So the leaders of the corporations out there, make a commitment today.
And take action.
And take action. Absolutely.
I want to thank you, General Gorman, and Kimberly Williams from NC4Me for being with me on the show. And everyone, until next time, stay focused on the important things.
I knew a man, called him Sandy Kane. Few folks even knew his name. But a hero, yes, was he. Left a boy, came back a man. Still many just don't understand about the reasons we are free. Can't forget the look in his eyes or the tears he cried as he said these words to me. All gave some, some gave all, some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all.